All right, guys, welcome back to another action-packed episode of a Native MMA Radio. This is episode 48. Wally Wall and I are back at it again. We have an amazing lineup for you guys today, starting off with two amazing fighters coming off of this weekend's UFC in Sao Paulo, Brazil. We have Wellington Termain, who is taking on Marcus Perez. And then we have Ricardo Ramos. I'm not going to try to pronounce Ricardo's opponent's name. I'm going to butcher it, and I feel bad already. But to cap off the show, the highlight of the show, we have David Mershad coming to join us. He is going to be one half of the PFL's welterweight million-dollar fight. Can't wait to sit down and talk to him. But as always, I got Wally Wall with me. Now, we didn't have an opportunity to talk to you guys last week because we were just a little busy with our schedules. But, Wally Wall, while I have you here, I would like to get your opinion on Jorge Masvidal versus Nate Diaz.
Well, the whole show was pure madness. We had great fights, you know, great finishes. And, you know, some people say the main didn't deliver. Personally, I think that the main event delivered. Maybe the stoppage was, maybe people said they shouldn't be doctor stoppage. I say, what the fuck? The doctor knows what he's doing. So, no. But anyhow, the three rounds were good. Masvidal looked amazing.
Yes.
So I was very impressed by Masvidal in that fight.
Outside of the Masvidal versus Diaz matchup, what other fights on that card really stood out to you?
Oh, man. So many great fights. Darren Till looked pretty good. It wasn't the most exciting fight, but he looked good.
A lot of people do that to Gastelum.
Yeah. Yeah, but with the reach.
That was really impressive.
Yeah. You know, Darren Till is a big striker, and he said that he had mental issues after losing to Tyron Lee. He said that. And I believe him when he said that. He looked, I would say, different when he faced Masvidal in a fight that he was winning in the early, you know, in the early exchanges.
Yeah, definitely. Another one that out to me, Corey Anderson went in there and took all of the hype from Mr. Hype Train himself.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I want to talk to you about the way he took out Walker was just amazing. I mean, we've only seen Johnny Walker taken out like that before he entered the UFC. Since he's been in the UFC, though, we've seen him go on such a tear, and he's made guys look very elementary. But yeah. Corey Anderson went in there. He stopped a man who had looked unstoppable, and he really cemented himself as the number one contender in that division.
Oh, definitely. Listen, Corey Anderson, I believe he's the one who deserves the title shots right now. Maybe you would say, what about Reyes? But I think he deserves title shots. What do you think? You think he's not...
I like Reyes a lot, but I think at this point, Corey Anderson has done enough to earn himself a title shot. He took out Amir Latifi. He's now taking out Johnny Walker. I mean, at this point, if John Jones is going to go to heavyweight, you might as well put Dominic Reyes versus Corey Anderson title eliminator. The winner gets a shot at Jones whenever he decides to defend his 205-pound title.
I agree with you. The Corey Anderson won in a way that I believe he's going to win if he's going to win. I thought that if he's going to win, we'll win by decision, you know, using his grappling. But, you know, he had a whole other plan. He found some holes on Johnny Walker's games. And, you know, we all know that Johnny Walker lost some fights. We didn't know really what was, his game. And I think that Corey Anderson exposed him.
Well, I mean, he went in there and he Johnny Walker.
Yeah.
He put a ton of pressure, he overwhelmed his opponent, and he got a kill shot.
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly what Walker is to most of his opponents. overwhelmed him, a hell of a pressure, and then finally got that kill shot. We finally now work against him. It'll be interesting to see what their 5-pound division has in the future. But one future is definitely clear. That's the 155-pound division. Kevin Lee is a monster, and he has definitely claimed himself as one of the top contenders in the division. He went in there and put on a hell of a performance. Guy who a lot of people, including yourself, Waleed, were willing to be the next opponent for Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That was, for me, that was maybe the prize of the night, because I didn't think that Kevin Lee had what it takes to win that fight. You know, we are always very talented, but that's not the question. I thought that maybe Gregor is too much for him. And you know what? Kevin Lee, he changed a head coach. Now the Farid Zahabi, I think that he's really getting, you know, everything checked. I think that this is a new version of Kevin Lee. And don't forget, Kevin Lee is very... Yeah, he's still all hell holding his hair in front of him. And he already have a fight. He already have some great fights.
And he looked very battle fight against Tony Ferguson. A man yeah. who a lot saying is unbeatable at this point.
Yeah, I agree. Like, he did very well against Tony. I give him that.
I think TriStar was the best thing that could have happened. And I think we're seeing just the beginning of the evolution of the Motown Phenom.
Oh, maybe. Really, I don't want to get really high now because I prefer to wait.
Who would you like to see him, though?
He said it himself. He think that calling out right now for a title fight, or it's too soon. I agree with him. But, you know, why not fight against... lost to Raging Owl, so that's not good for him.
No, that's definitely one that he would like to get back to on. Another name yeah. that jumps to mind for me, though, is Dustin Poirier. I would love to see that matchup. Those two would go in and put in a hell of a performance for the crowd.
I agree with you. That would be a great fight. It will make sense. Dustin is lost his last fight, you know. But the thing is, I think Dustin Poirier is pushing right now for an Nate Diaz fight.
Yes, could see that happening. Maybe a tag team match with him versus Nick yeah. and Nate.
Yeah, he just said that, yeah. Posted something on Instagram about that. And I'm not mad at it because he was supposed to fight him. But he got injured or sick. I don't remember exactly.
It was Dustin who pulled out, though, correct? If I remember correctly, it was Dustin.
Yeah, it was Dustin.
And Jorge was originally scheduled to fight Nick Diaz. Way before Nate ever even came back. They were talking about this way back at UFC, like, shit. 22, I believe they talked about it originally. Yeah. 26, they talked about it again. And they've talked about it versus Jorge Masvidal matchup for a while now. I'm pretty sure they're glad that it finally happened with Nate. It was a hell of a matchup. It was a great performance. It put a huge spotlight on the sport in general there. Regardless of how you feel about the president, regardless if you're inside or outside of the office, you have to sport as a whole. That is huge.
Yeah, that huge. I agree. Like, who knew that the president would call? I didn't hear the rumors about that. That's huge. And I think that he will be in the to watch Colby Covington fight.
That's a good possibility. If at least not him, you could definitely see. It's very interesting, 2020 and the end of 2019 that we are looking forward to. Before I let you go, any final thoughts on this last weekend's pay-per-view?
Listen, I would love to see a rematch between Jorge and Nate. But right now, Nick Diaz maybe is stepping up and wants to fight, because on his last interview in the Ariel Helwani show, like, after the interview, Ariel said that Nick Diaz team, you know, managers and stuff, are looking for a fight, and they are looking for a fight against Jorge Masvidal. So I don't know, and it is like he got the blessing of Nate, like he got the okay from Nate, so that's not an issue. And I don't know. I guess we will see. I guess we will have an answer real soon.
That we will. Before we get on to all that, though, we have Ricardo Ramos stopping by to discuss his upcoming fight this weekend in Sao Paulo, Brazil. So can't wait to get him on. If you guys give us a second, we'll get straight to that. I'll have Wally Wall here back in a minute.
Yeah. Sorry, that was that's how I wake up.
And that's a wake-up call. Wake up, France. Me at this time is one of the UFC's rising bantamweight contenders, Ricardo Ramos. How you doing today, Ricardo?
Doing great.
Now, you have a fight this weekend in in Sao Paulo. Tell me, how excited are you to be fighting in Brazil?
Man, I'm very excited. That's my town, you know, that's my city. And, you know, everybody, like, people very close to me will be here. All my fans will be here from Sao Paulo, Campinas, my city. And that would be awesome for me, a great experience for sure.
Now, you're from Sao Paulo. You're from an hour away from Sao Paulo. So you're very well known in the area. You're comfortable in the area. Yeah. Have you ever fought in that arena before?
Sorry?
Have you ever fought in that arena before?
Yeah, I competed a lot of BJJ tournaments on Ibirapuera, the place that we're going to be fighting. And so I really know this place pretty much. So, you know, deja vu, man. We're going to be there to perform on the UFC right now.
So you're super comfortable there. You're already ready to go. You've already been through that trip of going there and performing.
Yeah, for sure. I'm always comfortable everywhere, but I feel like here it's different, you know, like you feel like home. It's different. The different fight week, it's been like very different than every fight that I have fought before.
Yeah, the atmosphere is different.
Yeah, for sure. It's more familiar, you know, like really good.
Now, your last fight, you got an amazing unanimous decision victory over Junior Newsom. Tell me, did you feel at all uncomfortable in that fight? Because I feel like you kind of dominated the entire performance.
Yeah, some stuff happened before the fight. Like, I was supposed to be fighting against Sergio Pettis, and he dropped out the fight. And then I got a fight with someone that I never saw, you know, any fights. And I tried to look for his fights on the YouTube, and I could not find anything about him, only boxing fight and BJJ tournaments. And I watched just a little bit from him. And everything that I was expecting from him, he did different on the fight. He kicks a lot, and I was expecting a boxing, better boxing from him. But I could adapt better on this fight. I could adapt for this match, like on the fight. I could see his style and, you know, adapting my style to him. And that was a good, for sure, good experience to adapt on the fight, you know. So I'm ready for this kind of shit, you know.
Now, your opponent this weekend, Eduardo, have you had any chance to look at any video of him?
Yeah, I looked at a bunch of videos from him, for sure. And he's really good. He's undefeated for a short time. But yeah, I could watch a lot of stuff from him for sure. And I have a good game plan.
What is your game plan? Can we discuss a little bit of it? Do you want to get into it at all?
Oh, sorry?
What is the game plan? Can we get into it at all?
Oh, yeah. The game plan is go there and get the win, you know. Sorry. No, he's joking. Yeah, I saw his better striking. He got some submissions, but I saw the guys that he fought on and he submitted. I think the guy that he submitted was not really good ground fighters. And that's why he submitted a bunch, like six fights. And about his striking, he's always switch his stance and do like try to confuse it. You on the fight, but I think it will be very comfortable for me. Yeah, because I'm kind of know this situation. You know, I'm kind of comfortable with this kind of style.
Yeah, and you're very creative with your striking too. We've seen that in a couple of your knockouts. Do you plan on showcasing that creativity this weekend?
Sorry?
Do you plan on showcasing your creativity this weekend in your striking?
Yeah, you know, like, I'm very creative on the training, on the fights. And I do, like, I only do something if it really works. So I do spinning elbow because I know that really works, because I can finish the fight with that, you know? But that's my kind of game. I like to do stuff, different technique, and put it on the fight. But if I don't like only to be the showman, you know, I like to be the champion too. So it's a mix, a champion with the showman. So that's my style. And for sure, I'm going to do that, something crazy on the fight.
So we can expect fireworks.
Yeah, I got some tricks, bro. I got some tricks for him.
Now, looking forward, do you feel like the featherweight division is something you would like to stay in?
Featherweight,
bantamweight,
sure.
Flexureweight, whatever they want.
That's my division. I was cutting a lot of weight, and I cannot, you know, like, performance in 100%, because I was making my performance worse with this cutting weight, so I cannot, like, explode in the fight. And shut up, dogs. And sorry. And like right now, I feel like I'm much better. My training camp, my diet is so much better. So I feel alive right now.
What kind of diet are you on? Do you follow any particular diet, or are you just gonna do your own thing?
I do the diet with Lockhart and Leif, and they work with a bunch of UFC guys, so I'm pretty much on good hands for sure.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
Yeah, before it was only chicken and salad, and now they make me eat, you know, so that's really so much better for sure.
What are some of the things you're enjoying this fight week?
Sorry?
What are some of the things that you've been able to enjoy this fight week?
Like everything. I like to enjoy, like, everything. Like, you see, you're talking about the food?
Yes,
or the
food.
Yeah, man. Yeah, they have, like, some peanut butter candies.
Yeah.
It's not a candy, but I like candy. So they do that. I think that's good because it's healthy and help on the diet. And that's the best part. It's like some peanut butter with some oatmeal. And that make you feel better because you feel like you're eating candy, you know? So that's good.
No, for sure. So kind of like tricks your mind into thinking you got some candy in your system.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you do to kind of get your mind away from the fight? What do you do to relax?
I do meditation. I do like yoga. But I'm a very, you know, peaceful guy. So I feel so relaxed on the fight week because I have fun on the fight week. You know, I'm enjoying every single moment. Shut up. Every single moment of the fight, I'm enjoying the fight week, because that's a unique moment. You know, it's a single moment on my life, and I try to take everything from this moment, you know. So for sure, it's my it's a pleasure for me to be doing what I do, you know.
What would you like next if you get past the war this weekend?
Sorry?
Do you have a name that you would like to call out next?
You know, I don't like to call out, but if you want, someone wants to call me to the next one, I would be ready for everyone. You know, I never choose a fight. I never ask for some, not ask, but I never try to choose my next opponent, you know. I want to fight everybody. I want to prove that I'm better than everybody. And if I choose someone, I think that they can choose me. It's better. If they want, just call me, man. I'm going to be there.
For sure. What is 2020 going to look like for Ricardo Ramos?
Sorry?
What is 2020 going to look like for Ricardo Ramos?
They can look for... the question again?
Next year? What do you have in store for you next year?
2020, yeah. Next year, man, I want to really, you know, get closer to the belt. I feel that I need to prove my that I'm really good on this division right now. So I'm gonna make my better for the 145, and then let's see what happens. You know, let's see what's going next. You know, but I feel like so much things to do before I go to the next level on this division. You know, so I'm just new on this one, so I need to prove some steps.
Definitely. What do you like outside of the cage? What do you, you know, what can the fans that really don't get to see you every day, what do you like?
Yeah, I like to travel. I really like to travel to, you know, to visit new places, visit new cities. So when I'm not training, when I'm not on the training camp, I'm traveling for somewhere, visiting a new country, a new place. And I like to eat good food too, so I like to go to a good restaurants with my girlfriend and, you know, enjoy the good life like everybody likes, you know.
No, for sure. Yeah. What can we expect coming from this fight? Or do we have a prediction, a finish, all out war? Do we have any kind of prediction for this fight?
Yeah, I can predict that I'm going looking for a submission and a knockout all the time. That's what I'm going to do. Make some, you know, make he gets on the his like make he fall on my tricks and then get the win. You know, like I feel I have so much more techniques to put on the fight. And I can make his step wrong, you know. He makes some bad movement, and I can get this wing like this. Yeah.
Excellent, man. Well, I don't want to take too much more of your time. I know it's a busy fight week for you. But before I let you go, I want to give you an opportunity to give a shout-out to your sponsors, teammates, loved one, anyone that's helped you along your MMA journey.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the space in your channel, and I really appreciate that. Thank you, everybody that is watching that. And I don't have too much sponsor right now. To be honest, I don't have sponsors. But I want to thank to all my friends, all my team, Team Paradigm, UFC. Thank you so much for letting me fight on UFC and be a UFC fighter. And thanks for everybody in São Paulo who is going to watch this fight. So I really appreciate that. Thank you so much, guys.
And then where can the fans find you on social media?
Ricardo Ramos MMA. You guys can follow me on Instagram and my Twitter too. It's Ricardo Ramos MMA.
Have we made it around to Facebook yet?
What?
Have you made it around to Facebook yet?
Yeah, I have, but To be honest, I didn't use too much. I don't use too much Facebook, man. Sorry, guys.
I hear that.
I'm gonna start be more active right now, right there.
Perfect, brother. Well, we're super excited for your fight this weekend, man. We can't wait to have you back on the show later on. Thank you much for your time, man. We can't wait to have you back on.
Thank you, guys. And sorry for my big dog. That's the devil. All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You too on November 16th. Yeah.
Welcome back, guys. At this time, Wally Wall and I are going to be breaking down this last weekend's UFC fight card. It was in Russia, headlined by Zabit Magomed Sharipov taking on Calvin Kattar in the 145-pound division. That was a three-round main event because of the last-minute switch. It was a little confusing, but hey, at least we got the fights. To start off the night, though, Davy Grant won by a split decision over Gregor Popov. Wally Wall, what did you think of Davy Grant's performance?
Oh, listen, it was the kind of fight I don't like to watch to start a show. A split decision, already controversial and stuff, you know. And, you know, sometimes I prefer if the first fight, you know, doesn't go to the judges. I prefer something that really get me hyped, you know. And this card really needed me to get hyped to watch. Because it was a tough, I would not say tough card to watch, but, you know what I mean.
Yes. No, 100%. Yeah. It was one of those cards where you're like, I'm not waking up super early to watch this shit. I'll get up when I get up and I'll watch what I watch.
Yeah, like Russia hasn't been really lucky when it comes to fight card, I think.
No, and especially with the switch up with everything. I mean, they added the Calvin Kattar co-main event last minute because of the switch up in the main event. That got switched to the main event, only a 3-round main event at that. So, I mean, originally the schedule headliner was Volkov versus JDS. As you know, JDS couldn't fulfill his duties, so his teammate Greg Hardy decided to step in for him instead. The second fight of the night, though, Panini Khanzad won by unanimous decision over Jessica Rose Clark. I believe this is Panini's second performance since her Ultimate Fighter debut. She's looked pretty good since she's came back from
Ultimate Fighter.
I'd be interested to see what's next for her.
Yeah, I would be interested to see what's next for her, too, because she looked good. It was a good win for her, and you know, it's not easy for fighters to fight in, you know, in countries they don't know sometimes. But yeah, she got the W, so good for her.
One thing that kind of worries me about her, though, is she hasn't had the very dominant performance. They've all been very lackluster. So with the UFC getting really hyped on cuts lately, that might not be the best route to take.
Oh, so you think that's really, she may get cut?
Maybe not, but I mean, if you keep putting performances that are like this together that aren't very, as you could say, fan friendly.
Oh,
I feel like she could very easily be, I mean, look at some of the names that have been cut lately. And we won't get into that right this second, but it's a pretty long list. There's about 18, 19 guys and girls on there who have been cut within the last month.
No, yeah, I agree with you. When it comes to cuts, like, being on a winning streak is not enough right now.
No.
I agree with you.
Roosevelt Roberts in the third matchup was able to get the unanimous decision victory over Alexander Yakovlev. Roberts has looked very well. His last performance against Vince Pichel right before Vince came on the show. So obviously you knew Vince was going to win that one just based off that alone. But Roosevelt has looked good since then. And he picked up a very nice unanimous decision victory here. Again, I feel like the UFC has very high hopes for this kid. And I want to see him with a step up in competition.
Yeah, maybe a bit more competition for him. I agree with you. Something I don't have really a name for him, but yeah, I agree with you. A tougher fight. I would agree with you.
Somebody
yeah.
within that like 20 to 25 range in the lightweight division, I feel like would be perfect. The German David Zawada got the very first finish of the night with a very nice triangle choke over Abakbar Nurmagomedov. Obviously, you guys know the last name. That is Khabib's cousin.
Oh, yeah.
He really looked dominant in the fight until he got into that triangle choke. He had the world-famous Dagestani wrestling going to work. He was really picking him apart until he made one mistake, and he got caught in a really deep triangle.
Yeah, I agree with you. He got caught, and you know, we know who was happy about that loss. It was Conor McGregor.
Nurmaga tap tap. that chick killed me.
Listen, like the whole internet is calling McGregor, you know, chicken and you know, tap machine, and he's the one saying that. It make it even funnier.
Yo, that Nurmaga tap tap line killed me. I was dying when I read that. I was like, he just really went in on Khabib's cousin. That's fucked up.
Crazy.
We didn't have to wait long for another finish. Carl Robinson went in there and got a nice rear naked choke in the third round against Ramon Khabilov. Now, Carl Anderson has really stepped up since joining the UFC. He had, he went 1-1 in his first two fights, and he's looked very, very good ever since. I'm super excited to see what the future has in store for him.
Yeah. Very excited. Let's see what's next for him. But yeah, a good W for him.
For sure. Rustam Khabilov got a unanimous decision victory over Sergey Khandavoglu, whatever the fuck his last name is, bro. I hate some of these last names.
Kandosko. So his name doesn't kind of look like mine.
Exactly.
But whatever.
But you're a Kandusi.
Yeah, mine is easier to say, you know. Doesn't have a silent H and a Z and, you know, whatever other. It's another country.
His name has most of the fucking alphabet in it.
I agree with you.
Now, Magomed Ankalaev won a beautiful knockout front kick against Dolca Lugababa. I'm a huge fan of Dolca. Okay, I thought the South African was going to be the next big thing out of Africa, and he got his head kicked off.
Things happens, you know, and yeah, that's not good for him.
No, I believe that was a performance victory, a performance winning victory for Mr. Magomed Ankalaev.
Yeah. Of course, it's good for Magomed, but, you know, Dolca, if Dolca won that fight, I think that he would have maybe get a bigger fight, you know, because I think that he made himself, you know, well known with his fights. But, you know, this is a step back. I don't know if it's a huge step back or not for him, but this is definitely a step back for him.
It's definitely, I think, that he could probably learn from and see what the future has in store for him.
Oh, definitely. Of course, you can only learn from losses. And I really hope that this step back may be a step forward in the future for him.
Exactly. Shamil Gamzatov took out Klinzen Abreu with a split decision. I honestly gave the fight to the Brazilian. I mean, I'm guessing because it was in Russia, that's why they gave it to Shamil. But I thought Klinzen Abreu did enough to win that fight.
Yeah, listen, you know, when you fight in countries like Russia or Brazil, you know, whatever, when you don't fight in the United States, I would say. In the United States, like, people don't get cheated on a lot. Like, I don't know if other fighters from other countries said that, but I don't think that it ever happened. So, yeah, I don't know how they judged that fight, but it is what it is.
100% it is what it is. Anthony Rocco Martin won by unanimous decision over Ramazan Emiev. What do you think is next for Anthony Rocco Martin, and do you think that he's propelled himself to a top 15 matchup?
Listen, I don't know if he should fight for, I guess, top 15. I don't know. It will depend maybe on, you know, maybe he will step up on short notice or something like that. I don't know if they will schedule really a fight for him against someone in the top 15. Maybe it's too early, but, you know, if he keeps on winning, that's what's going to happen.
I mean, if you look at his last three fights, he's 2-1, but he lost to Damian Maia. And Damian Maia is no slouch. So outside of somebody like that, I honestly would love to see him go up against our good friend Gilbert Burns.
Yeah, I would like to see that fight too.
Because
I agree with you.
In the UFC, he's only lost a couple times. He lost his very first two fights in the UFC. We're talking about back in 2014. Then he lost another fight in 2015. Then he only lost to OAM and Damian Maia since. He's won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8 fights since then. And he's looked very good. The only two opponents he's lost to, again, like I said, OAM, who has made a lot of people look elementary, and Damian Maia, who is a master Brazilian jiu-jitsu technician.
Yeah, massive. I agree with you. So, you know, I lost against Damian Maia. It is what it is. So many people lost to him. I don't think that at this point people should get mad for losing against him.
For sure, but I really think a step up in competition is due for Anthony Rocco Martin.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Ed Herman won his fight by unanimous decision against Khadis Ibragimov.
Ibragimov.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Ed Herman came out after the fight, and he said that this, he's pretty much done with fighting, that he's had so many grueling fights over his career that his body can't take the toll anymore. And at this point, I think Ed Herman has hung up his gloves.
Oh, I don't know. He said that we saw so many fighters retire and then come back from retirement, you know. I think for him, we can only wish him, you know, good luck for anything he wants to do, you know. But, yeah, if he wants to retire, good for him. If not, good for him too, you know. At the end of the day, we don't know really what's going on in his life. So we're not the one to judge exactly if he should or not retire.
Exactly. Another man who had a great performance on Saturday morning, Danny Roberts, had a huge KO knockout of Zalim Amadov in the second round, 4 minutes and 54 seconds. So right at the end of the round, he did this very, very nice left-right combo, and it put out Zalim very, very quickly.
Yeah, it was a quick one, and yeah, that was that one really was good, because I think that it really got me like hyped again for the two last fight of the card.
100%, you could definitely say that fight set the tone for the next two. Greg Hardy, I mean, he went out there last minute. He fought Volkov. Volkov won the unanimous decision. Obviously, he outmatched Greg Hardy. But I want to talk about the fact that nobody, like, when some fighters lose, you can see their stock drop. In this situation, yeah. Greg Hardy, his stock grew after this fight. Just because of the level of competition, the fact that it was a quick turnaround, everything that he stepped up for his teammate. And he was very adamant that he said that. He felt that it was his duty to go in there and step in for JDS, because that is his teammate. And if his teammate can't make it to battle, well, then it's next man up. And Greg Hardy was that next man up. And he put on a hell of a performance on Saturday morning. I would like to see what he could do against one of those guys. You and I spoke about it earlier, Tai Tuivasa. That would be an interesting matchup. Or even the guy who just beat Bam Bam, Spivey.
Listen, for a guy that is not a fan of Greg Hardy, like I talked a lot about it on the show, he's earning my respect when it comes to his MMA career with wins like that. With fights like that, because it's a win for him. That's why I say a win.
Yes,
because
100%.
Yeah, because he got so much shit for not fighting against top competition, and now he fought against Volkov, and Volkov maybe his next fight is against Francis Ngannou. So that's how good Volkov is. You know, who can forget how Volkov won against Fabricio Werdum? Volkov is a great fighter.
Volkov dominated the Black Beast for 14 minutes and 45 seconds.
I agree with you, yeah. And then the Black Beast with one of the greatest comeback in the history of the sport, in every sport, you know. It's not really the greatest comeback, but because it's the Black Beast, we are going to say that, you know, because we love him. But, yeah, Greg Hardy wasn't the best night. He didn't look good. He didn't look bad. That's the thing to say. He didn't look bad.
No.
People thought that he would look bad. He didn't look bad. And, you know, let's see what's next for him. And, you know, if he wins, he wins. And if he don't, he don't.
For sure. The main event saw Zabit Magomed Sharipov outpoint Calvin Kattar in a 15-minute unanimous decision victory. Really, it was a tale of two stories, okay? You saw a dominant first and second round from Zabit Magomed Sharipov, and then you've seen a complete decimation of a gas tank, and Calvin Kattar just turning it on in the third round. My question to you, Waleed, is a question I asked you earlier about another fight. If this fight had two more rounds, do you think the outcome is the same, or do you think Kattar is able to do enough?
Oh, listen, that's not the first time I think that Zabit got really exposed for his cardio. Like, listen, when it comes to striking, you know, and submissions, there's not another guy like Zabit. You know, he's very talented, he's very unorthodox, He's very, you know, funny to watch. He's a dream. Everybody wants fighters like him. Like he you think that he come out from a video game sometimes because he's through some shit that, you know, we don't really see in MMA fights. But he have a big problem when it comes to cardio. And lucky for him, that was a 3-round fight, I would say. Because I think that, yeah, if it went to the 5th round, and if it went to the judges, maybe he will lose, because I don't think, maybe we will get, you know, finished in the 4th or 5th.
No, for sure. When you sit back and think about what could be possibly next for Zabit Magomedsharipov, you would have to definitely say that it's going to be a main event slot in a 5-round fight for a fight night card. Who the opponent is to be determined at this point. I would love to see, I believe you said it earlier, the Korean Zombie versus Brian Ortega winner face yeah. him to see who's next for the title shot. But I really think that we need to see Zabit's gas tank pushed to the limits and to see what he could do in adversity when we know there's nothing left.
You know, the UFC either give him an easy, there's no easy fights, but an easy 5-round fight where he can really show up his skills and, you know, win, and if, you know, and getting exposed but still gets a W and have a chance, you know, to have a 5-round fight, or they, you know, throw him to the sharks and give him the directly a title fight against the Max Holloway, the winner of Holloway, Alexander, you know. But I don't know. For me, like I told you, Frankie Edgar, Brian Ortega, the Korean Zombie, those are the fights next for him, maybe. One of them, one of those guys.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think that at this point you could even put anything above him. The one thing that worries me when you talk about Zabit Magomedsharipov going against somebody like a Max Holloway is Max Holloway is all about pressure and cardio. And he can do it for 5 rounds, and we've seen him do it for 5 rounds against some of the best in the world. Zabit Magomedsharipov is going to have his hands full with the UFC's featherweight king.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, Zabit isn't that a huge finisher. He gets some finish from submission and stuff, but a guy like Holloway, I don't think that will get caught on a submission, because we saw him against Brian Ortega, and Brian Ortega's submission skills is off the roof, you know. So I'm really excited to see what, you know, how good is the beat, and I guess that we will see that real soon.
That we will, my friend, that we will. Until then, though, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We're going to have Wellington Thurman come on the show. Him and his interpreter. This is the first time we've had an interpreter on the show because Wellington is Brazil. He only speaks Portuguese. But I'm super excited for this opportunity. It's something that we've never done here on Native MMA Radio or formerly MMA Record Radio. So I'm glad that we're finally expanding our horizons and doing something like this. So if you guys will wait for a quick second, we'll have Wellington on here and we'll get this thing going. Guys, joining me at this time is one of the fastest riding middleweight contenders in the UFC and his interpreter, Wellington Thurman. Man, how are you doing today? And both of you guys, how are you doing?
I'm very good. Everything is fine. I'm really excited about Saturday. I think I'm going to put up a great show there.
Excellent. Now, Marcus Perez is your opponent. How excited are you to be fighting him this weekend?
Como você está com relação ao teu oponente enfrentar ele esse fim de semana?
Eu estou muito feliz, é uma grande luta.
I'm very happy, it's a great fight.
E eu estou muito empolgado, acho que a gente pode dar um grande show para o público.
And I'm very excited, I think both of us are gonna put up a great show for the public.
Now, you've had one fight in the UFC, that was against Carl Robinson. You had a very good showing up against him. What did you take away from that fight?
Teve uma luta no UFC contra aquele cara lá e foi uma grande luta para você, mas o que você tirou dessa luta toda?
Eu tirei um grande aprendizado.
It was a great learning process for me.
Que eu não posso errar em nenhuma luta.
And I actually learned that I cannot make one single mistake and one single fight.
E eu treinei bastante após essa luta.
And after this fight, I've been training a lot.
Pra não acontecer de novo.
So this cannot happen again.
Can we expect a finish from you this weekend against Marcus?
Como é que você espera que seja essa finalização? Como é que você espera que seja contra ele a luta?
Contra ele, eu acho que vai ser ele é um cara muito ele luta muito empolgante também, né?
His way of fighting is very exciting. He's very excited when he's on the ring.
Eu acho que tem tudo para ser a luta da noite.
And I think this has everything to be the fight of the night.
Take home a nice little bonus with that then too. Now, the fight before you made it into the UFC was against Mauricio Alexandre at Future FC. You put him away with a very nice first round rear naked choke. He had a lot of hype coming in behind him. How was it to take all that hype and to propel yourself into the UFC?
Então, a tua luta antes do UFC, que foi no Future lá, foi contra o Flamengo, que eu esqueci o nome, uhum. Você colocou ele pra baixo muito rápido, como mata-leão. Como que foi você lidar com tudo isso logo antes do UFC?
Então, eu já venho me preparando há tempos pra chegar no UFC, né?
So, I've been preparing for a while to get to UFC.
E foi muito bom ter lutado com o Lyoto.
And it was very good to fight him.
Porque eu fiquei sabendo como são os lutadores de lá, né?
Because I had a chance to have a grasp of how the contenders are at UFC.
Então eu me senti bem preparado para chegar lá e saber que eu estava pronto para estar lá, né?
So I felt really prepared, and when I got there at UFC, I felt like I was actually ready to be there.
You're definitely very definitely deserving of this spot. There's been a new breed of Brazilians coming into the UFC, you being one of them, Johnny Walker another one. You guys being so young, is it safe to say that you are the new generation of Brazilian fighters?
Vocês são super novos para estar no UFC, você e outro cara que não lembro o nome agora, falou isso. E você acha que é seguro dizer que vocês são a nova geração do UFC?
Sim, com certeza, eu me sinto muito preparado.
Sim, yes, definitely, I feel very prepared.
Eu comecei muito cedo.
I started really young.
E eu tenho bastante lutas, né?
And I have a lot of fights.
Então eu sinto que eu tenho uma maturidade boa para estar lá e poder representar bem o país, né?
And I feel like I have great maturity to be there and to represent my country, Brazil.
What made you get into MMA?
I'm sorry, can you say it again?
What made him start MMA?
O que você fez? O que fez você ir pro MMA?
Perca de peso.
I wanted to lose weight.
How old were you when you started?
Quantos anos você tinha quando começou?
Com 15 anos.
I was 15.
And when did you take your first fight?
E qual foi a sua primeira luta?
Com 17 anos.
I was 17.
Was it one of those things that you kind of fell in love with right away, or is it you learned to love it?
Esse foi o tipo de coisa que você se apaixonou na hora, você aprendeu a amar.
Eu fui amando aos poucos, fui gostando aos poucos.
I kind of, it grew on me.
Mas eu vi que era o esporte que eu sempre gostei, né?
But I could see that this was the sport I would always like.
Fala que eu nunca gostei de musculação.
I've never liked bodybuilding.
Achava muito desanimador.
For me, it was very boring, actually.
E no Muay Thai, eu me encontrei, assim, achei bem...
And in Muay Thai, I found myself.
Have you had any Muay Thai fights?
Você já fez alguma luta de Muay Thai mesmo?
Mas algumas mais internas de academia.
I had some, but it was something more like, you know, in global gyms and stuff, not actual championships.
Lutas amadoras só.
So not anything professional, no.
So nothing sanctioned, just everything just through the gym?
Yes.
Excellent. When you started MMA and you started this career, did you ever think that you were going to be on the biggest stage in the UFC fighting in your home country?
Você imaginou que você estaria lá no super palco, no UFC, lutando no seu país natal?
Sim, eu sempre acreditei.
Yes, I've always believed that.
Desde o começo eu falava com meu pai que lá ia ser o lugar que eu ia lutar.
Since the beginning, I used to tell my dad I'm going to fight there at UFC.
Sempre foi meu sonho.
That was always my dream.
Now that you're here, how do you feel like you stack up against some of the other middleweights in that division?
E agora que você está aqui, como é que você se sente com relação a enfrentar algum desses outros pesos médios, então?
Eu estou muito feliz, né?
I'm very happy, of course.
É um sonho estar entre os melhores.
It's a dream to be in the midst of the best.
E nessa luta eu quero mostrar para o público que eu estou pronto para estar lá.
In this fight, I want to show the audience that I'm ready to be there, that I'm supposed to be there.
Now, if you get past Marcus Perez this weekend, is there anybody in particular that you would like to fight next?
Agora, se você ganhar dele, tem alguém em particular que você gostaria de lutar depois?
Eu acho que eu não, na hora de pedir lutas ainda.
I think it's not the right time for me to ask for a specific fight yet.
Então, o que o UFC mandar agora, eu tô pronto.
So, anything UFC sends me, I'm ready.
Is there maybe, I know you have championship aspirations, are there any certain fighters or matchups that you would like to see while you get to the top?
Eu sei que você tem aspiração com relação ao campeonato mesmo, mas tem algum match, alguma luta que você gosta, ou lutador que você gostaria de ver lá no topo?
Que eu gostaria de enfrentar.
Que você gostaria de ver, já que você tem aspiração para comprar championship.
Someone he wanted to see or someone he would like to contend with?
Contend with.
Ah, alguém que você quer lutar.
Campeão.
With the champion.
Israel? How do you feel like you'd stack up against Israel Adesanya?
Como é que você sente que você acha que você poderia enfrentar esse cara?
É, o Adesanya é um cara muito duro.
He's a very tough guy.
Mas eu sou muito novo e eu sei que eu tenho muito para aprender ainda.
I'm really young, I know I have a lot to learn still.
E eu vou provar para esses caras aí que eu posso ganhar dele.
But I'm gonna prove for them that I can beat him.
Now, do you have a prediction for Saturday night against Marcus Perez?
Você tem alguma coisa assim, uma predição, sabe como?
O que vai rolar
no sábado, o que vai acontecer no sábado?
Sim, eu acho que tem tudo para ser uma grande luta.
I think this has everything to be a great, great fight.
E eu tô indo dessa vez para dar um show pro público, então eu quero fazer a luta da noite.
So this time I'm going to give the audience a show and I want it to be the fight of the night.
Don't definitely. Are you comfortable fighting in Brazil in your hometown? I know a lot of people like to go away and get away from their home country to fight. How do you feel about pretty much fighting in your backyard?
Tá confortável lutando no Brasil, na sua cidade, no seu país natal? Eu sei que muita gente prefere sair do país, ficar longe para lutar. Como é que você tá com relação a lutar tipo no jardim dos fundos de casa?
Sim, é muito melhor.
For me, it's way better.
Porque na minha última luta eu tive que viajar muito tempo.
Because in my last fight, I had to travel for long hours.
A viagem é longa, né? E a gente chega bem cansado.
It's a long trip. We get there, we're really tired.
Então lutar em casa é muito melhor.
So being home is way better.
Eu tô bem feliz de lutar na frente da minha torcida aqui.
I'm really, really happy about fighting before my people cheering for me.
Now, how far is Curitiba from São Paulo?
Qual a distância de São Paulo?
É, 400 quilômetros.
400 kilometers. It's about 6 hours driving.
Meia hora, 40 minutos.
And by plane, it's like 40 minutes.
Oh, that's not too bad. Do you expect to have a lot of people there? Family, friends?
Você está esperando muita gente lá? Amigos, família?
Sim, sim.
Yes.
Meus familiares e meus amigos.
My family, my relatives and friends.
E meu pai, principalmente.
And my father, especially.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, because, I mean, you never know when the next time we can get you fighting in Brazil, you could be in America for the next 6-7 fights.
É, porque, na verdade, você não sabe quando você vai lutar de novo no Brasil. Você pode estar lutando nos Estados Unidos por todas as outras lutas, né? 5-6 lutas.
Eu falo pra ele que eu gosto muito de lutar fora.
Yeah, I really like fighting, you know, outside Brazil, abroad.
Mas essa luta especial eu queria lutar em casa.
But this special fight, I wanted to be here.
Is there anywhere abroad in particular that you would like to fight? Any city?
É uma cidade fora do Brasil, New York.
What about Vegas?
E Las Vegas.
Las Vegas também.
Awesome.
Yes.
Now,
fala que é lá que o show tá com 10.
Because it's in Vegas that every show happens.
Yes, yes. Now, I don't want to take too much more of your time. I know you're super busy on Fight Week, but I want to give you an opportunity to give a shout out to your sponsors, teammates, loved ones, anyone that's really helped you along your MMA journey.
Então, não quero tomar muito teu tempo, sei que você está bem ocupado com a semana da luta, mas eu quero te dar um tempo para você dar um oi para os teus patrocinadores, amigos, todo mundo.
Então, galera, eu quero agradecer a todos.
So, everybody, I want to thank you all.
Eu estou muito feliz de lutar aqui no UFC São Paulo.
I'm very happy for fighting here at UFC São Paulo.
Eu treinei bastante para estar lá.
I've been training a lot to be there.
E sábado vocês podem esperar um grande show lá.
And Saturday, you can be expecting a great show for
me. Espero que o Marcos Maluco esteja preparado.
And I hope my opponent is prepared for me.
Do you have anything you would like to say to your opponent before you see him on Saturday?
Tem alguma coisa que você quer dizer pro teu oponente antes de você ver ele sábado?
Eu só quero falar para ele estar preparado.
I just want to tell him to be prepared.
E que ele dê tudo dele lá dentro.
And I hope he gives everything there.
And where can the fans find you on social media?
E os teus fãs podem te encontrar onde nas mídias sociais?
É, @turmãoMMA, Instagram.
At
Turman MMA, Instagram, né?
E o Wellington Turman no Facebook.
And on Facebook, Wellington Turman.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Wellington, for your time. I appreciate you coming on, and we can't wait to have you back on.
Muito obrigado por você vir para cá nessa luta no fim de semana.
Ah, eu agradeço.
I thank you very much for this, and we're going to do this together.
Excellent, brother. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Have a good one, guys. All right, knuckleheads, welcome back. At this time, Wally Wall and I are going to be previewing the UFC on ESPN Plus 21. That is out of Sao Paulo, Brazil.
Now,
the main event is Jacare Souza versus John Blachowicz, who just came off a huge KO knockout of...
over Luke Rockhold, right?
Luke Rockhold. I was there. I was hoping you would, you know, like, help me out there.
yeah. It was against Luke Rockhold. No problem. I'm here.
Yeah. Now, to start off the fight night is a good friend of the show. Vanessa Mello is taking on Tracy Cortez. We are obviously pulling for Vanessa Mello, but Tracy Cortez is no slouch. She's coming off of a Contender Series victory, and she looked very good in that. It'll be one hell of a fight, and what a way to start the show. You know the ladies always leave it all in the cage.
Oh, yeah, definitely. This is a big fight for both of the ladies, and, you know, let's see who's the better. Who's the better of them?
For sure. Tracy Cortez, like I said, 6-1. Vanessa Mello, 9-6. Very interesting matchup there in the women's bantamweight division. The second fight of the night is in the women's flyweight division. 11-5, Arianne Lipsky, the Violence Queen, is taking on 6-3-1, Veronica Mercado. Now, Arianne Lipsky is a beast. We have not seen that out of her yet in her UFC career, but if you follow her career before she made it to the UFC, you will see why she is called the Violence Queen. Hopefully one day here very soon, the UFC fans will find out.
Oh, yeah, we will see. You know, do you really think she is the Violence Queen?
If you've seen some of her fights before she made it to the show, you would definitely believe so.
So is she the queen of violence? Is she from ECW?
She might be. She might be from Dudleyville. You never know.
So let's see. Let's see her fight. I'm really excited about those two fights.
No, for sure. Two great women's matchups. One in the bantamweight division, the other in the flyweight division. Definitely a great way to start this show. Now, the former bantamweight champion, Henan Barao, is taking on Douglas Silva DeAndre. Hidden Brows, 34-8, 1-0 contest. Douglas is 25-3, 1-0 contest. Hidden Brow has been around and fought everybody at this point in time. What else could we see from the young man? I mean, at this point, I've been calling for Hidden Brow to retire, I think, now for the past two fights. I think after the Andre Ewell beating he took, I thought that was should have been his last fight. But he just keeps coming and coming and coming. I don't understand why.
The man at some point was UFC champion and he was the baddest motherfucker in his division. He was very scary. People didn't want to fight him at some point. Like, this is crazy to think that at some point Renan Barao was the shit and right now he's not. Like, you are calling him, you know, to retire, which is logical. It's the crazy part is not from you, it's from his UFC career and how bad things turn, you know, sometimes.
For sure.
This is, yeah, this the sport is crazy, and you know, I don't really want him to retire or whatever. It all depends on him, but you know, let's enjoy maybe his final fights, I would say. Because he was at some point one of the greatest in his career, in his division. So, yeah, this is a good fight, and I really, you know what, I will be really rooting for him in this fight.
No, for sure. In the welterweight division, Wally Alvarez, 13-3, is taking on Randy Brown, 11-3. I'm a big Randy Brown fan, not just because of the fact that he's a pro wrestling fan and he beat up a guy who beat up CM Punk. Just based on the fact that everything he's been able to do in the UFC, Rude Boy Randy Brown has only, I believe, lost once in the UFC, maybe twice. But in those performances, he still looked very good. Do you think Randy Brown could eventually see himself in the top 15 of the welterweight division? I know it's a very stacked division, but do you think that he has enough talent to eventually be one of the elite?
Oh, listen, to be in the... Yeah, I think that's enough talent. Yeah, he is talented, but, you know, the whole welterweight division is talented. Like you say, he's one of the most stacked, you know, division in the UFC and in MMA. So
in general, if you look at even our guest that we're going to have on a little later on right now, David Mashad, I mean, he could make it in the UFC right now, and he chose not to. He chose to go a different route and make $1 million in PFL instead.
Yeah, and, you know, at some point in your MMA career, yeah, for sure, you need skills, you need, you know, but sometimes you need just the stars to line up and you need some luck. So I think that if he gets some W's on a row, you know, he will eventually be in the top 15. You know, that's what it takes. Sometimes it doesn't take just to be talented. You need more than that.
No, for sure. In the lightweight division, Francisco Trinaldo is taking on Bobby Green. Trinaldo is 23-7. One of those seven came from our good friend Alexander Hernandez. Bobby Green is 24-9-1. Now, what do you see coming out of these two lightweights? Bobby Green puts on a hell of a fight every single time he shows up, and Francisco Trinaldo does the same. I feel like this could easily be fight of the night, and we're definitely going to see some fireworks here.
Definitely. This would be a big fight, and really looking forward to it. Really looking forward to the whole fight. And, you know, I don't really have a winner. I don't have really a pick. Who do you think have the more chance to win?
Trinaldo. I feel like out of the two of them, Trinaldo's experience is going to play a factor. Even though Bobby Green's had just as many fights, Trinaldo's done it longer in the UFC. I feel like with that UFC experience, being in Brazil, I feel like if it goes to a judge's scorecards, you know, like we've already spoke about, Francisco Trinaldo's most likely going to get the nod.
No, we will see, I guess. But, you know, Bobby Green is no joke. He's very talented. And I guess we will see who deserves to win.
For sure. Luis Eduardo Garrigori is taking on a man who we just actually had on the show. Ricardo Ramos, I really enjoyed that interview with him. I feel like he is the future of this featherweight division. He is very creative with his striking, and as he said earlier, he's looking to put some submission victories on his record as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think that, you know, this is, I would say, maybe an even fight when it comes to the MMA record, even though Ricardo have two losses, but, you know, they have the same number of wins, and I guess we will see. Really excited about that fight, too.
Ricardo's very eager to give Luis his very first loss, too.
Yeah. You know, sometimes when you get those losses early in your career, you know, like, it's a big weight off your shoulder, you know, because you don't have that pressure. So maybe it's a good thing for him, for Ricardo Ramos, for him to already have some losses. You know, when I say some, it's just two, but, you know, maybe it's good for him. Guess we will see who's the better fighter.
That we will. In the welterweight division, this is the prelims main event. Sergio Moraes is taking on James Krause. James Krause is 26-7. Sergio's 14-5-1. Super excited to see these two welterweights go down. James Krause always gives a great performance. He's over there in the lab in Phoenix, Arizona. And Sergio Moraes in his hometown is never disappointing.
Yeah, so this is a good fight, like you said, and, you know, Sergio Moraes is very dangerous. When it comes to James Krause is dangerous too, so James Krause with more fights than Sergio Moraes, and, you know, an exciting fight.
Now, a man that we actually just had on the show also, Wellington Turman, is going to be opening up the main card against Marcus Perez. We tried to get Marcus Perez on also, but we just weren't able to work out that schedule. Marcus Perez is 11-2. Wellington Turman is 15-3. I want to point out, though, Wellington Turman, with almost 20 fights under his belt, is only 22 years of age. And the kid is, including, you know, Johnny Walker, is the new breed of these Brazilian fighters. He's the new wave, if you would say. I really think that we could see these guys in title contentions here very, very soon. He spoke about fighting Israel Adesanya one day, and he feels that he has the skills to beat him.
Oh, that's very bold prediction for him, you know.
The confidence is very high in this young man, and that's a good thing and could sometimes be a bad thing.
Yeah, but for this, I really think that it's just good. And, wish him well in this fight, and, you know, we will see. Guess we will see if what he's saying is real, or, you know, he's just, you know, just talking. We will see.
I like the young man. I spoke to him and his interpreter. Her name mistakes me at this point. I'm sorry, miss. But I appreciate both of them coming on. I'm very impressed by his composure. With only being 23 years old, the way he carries himself, the way he speaks, he's always known that he was going to be in the UFC ever since he was a very young man. It was something that he felt like has been his destiny.
I guess we'll find out. But the thing that you said, yeah, it's true. It's very impressive that he's still 23-year-old and already have 18 fights. That's not counting maybe his amateur background, which I'm definitely sure that he had made some fights.
Oh, they're
just crazy.
He even talked about he had amateur fights that there weren't even sanctioned fights, so they don't even talk about him.
Oh, so this is crazy. And, you know, those are the real fighters. Those are the real MMA fighters. They start early. He have a lot of fights, you know, and we will see. Maybe, let's say maybe it's not maybe the right. He's still young. Like, even let's say he lose this fight, that's not going to really hurt his career. He's still very young. There's still room for improvement. Not saying that he needs some, but we will see. Maybe he's already a future star.
I really, like I said, I feel like we're seeing the beginning of the new wave of Brazilian fighters, and Wellington Turman is definitely taking charge and leading that pack. In the middleweight division, Antonio Arroyo is taking on Andre Munhoz. Arroyo is 9-2. Munhoz is 18-4. Super excited about this matchup. There's big matchups all over the place, but you might not know these names yet, but I guarantee you, if you watch these fights after Saturday, you will know every single one of these names.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. The end of the day, everybody was a nobody at some point of his life. But Conor McGregor came out from nothing and he became the biggest star in the UFC, you know? So, and he started from the,
if you look at the middleweight champion, he started in the UFC last February and has went on a wrecking ball of who's who in the middleweight division ever since.
Yeah, I agree with you. Those are great fights. I'm really excited about that co-main event and that main event, but other than that, those are really, really great fights.
No, for sure. This fight right here, though, you should definitely know this man's name if you are a fan of the UFC. D Bronx, Charles Oliveira, 27-8, one no contest, the most finishes in UFC history, is taking on Jared Gordon, who you mistakenly tagged one time. 15-3.
Yeah, definitely.
Hopefully we get Jared on the show here one day soon. But super excited to see this fight. I really like what Jared brings to the table. He's got that grittiness. You know he's not scared to take the fight to somebody like Charles, even though Charles is always constantly looking for that submission or the finish. Really interesting to see how this one plays out. I do not think this one sees the judges' scorecards, though.
No, guess we will see. And, you know, those two are very exciting fighters to watch. And, like you said, maybe we'll not go to the judges.
For sure. Mauricio Shogun Rua, 26-11, is taking on Paul Craig, 12-4, in the co-main event at the light heavyweight division. Originally, Shogun was supposed to be taking on another friend of the show, Smiling Sam Alvey, but Sam broke his hand a couple weeks ago and is unable to compete. So now Paul Craig steps in for arguably the biggest fight of his life.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, I'm a real big fan of Paul Craig. Very exciting to watch. He's definitely a great fighter. But, you know, Shogun Rua is no joke. He was at some point UFC champ. Yeah, he had some. He was on a losing streak at some point. But in his last couple of fights, he looked good. So, guess we will see if Shogun still has it. We will see if Paul Craig is the real deal. This is a great fight, and I'm really not mad that this is the co-main event, because those two fighters are really exciting to watch, and we will see. Paul Craig's submissions, the game is on top, and Shogun Rua, you know, what needs to be said. Yeah, he's Shogun, you know, he can kill you in the cage, like, he's a real tough guy, so we will see. Very exciting.
Y'all want to see a dead body? Go look at Machida versus Shogun too.
Yeah. It's very violent. Like, when you talk about violence, like, Shogun Rua is very violent when it comes to his MMA skills. And we will see. Paul Craig is a guy that never give up. We saw him winning by submission in the last seconds of the last round. So that's how,
multiple,
you know,
times.
Yeah, multiple times. That's how a guy, that's how he doesn't, you know, He never give up.
You cannot count him out until the bell is completely rang and the judges calling your name as the winner.
Yeah, 100%. And very excited about this fight. And the main event. The main event is a huge fight.
It really is. I mean, especially if you look at the landscape of the 205-pound division, if you look around at the 185ers who have been able to come up and have success, Jan Błachowicz is going to be welcoming yet another 185-pounder to the division. His last one up, he looked amazing and took out Luke Rockhold with a quick right hook, and it put Rockhold to sleep. Jacare Souza could be in for the same exact thing. I really feel like Jan Błachowicz could honestly be the very next opponent for John Jones. And if he was, I wouldn't be mad at it. He's 24-8 outside of losing to Anthony Smith. He's looked pretty fucking good lately.
Yeah. Do you think that that's Błachowicz's new job, to welcome people from the other division, you know? Do you think that's the new thing that he's doing?
Like, he's the gatekeeper almost of the 185 to 205 pounders?
No, yeah. You know, he's the guy that's, you want to prove yourself? Like, here I am. Ayo. You know, that kind of thing.
Yes.
Do you think that's his job right now?
I mean, at this point, until he gets a title shot, I believe that's exactly what his job was. I did misspeak earlier. I said that he lost Anthony Smith. He didn't lose to Thiago Santos.
That was
before Santos got his title shot against John Jones. But like I said, outside of that, he's beaten Nikita Kurloff, Jared Cannonier, who looks amazing at middleweight, Jimmy Manoa, Devin Clark, and Luke Rockhold.
He's very talented and very excited about this fight. But Jacare, what do you think? Do you think he will look good? How do you think he will do in this fight?
I'm interested to see Jacare after what happened with Hermanson. I really feel like he was winning that fight until he got caught.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see how his body feels out in the 205-pound division. He's not cutting weight anymore, so, I mean, obviously that's a plus. We'll see if he's able to transition his speed into this division, though. That's going to be the key. Is if he's faster than those guys, then I think he might surprise a lot of people in the 205-pound division. But if he's just the same old Jacare, I don't know if that's going to be enough against these heavy hitters.
When you know the level of jiu-jitsu Jacare has, do you think that's what he really should be looking for? Because right now he's fighting a big guys that maybe he shouldn't try to trade, you know, blows with them. Do you think that's what he needs to do?
I think
take the fight to the ground?
At this point in Jacare's career, I think it would be dumb not to. If you really look at him, I mean, like I said, he's 26-7. Now just think, that's over 30 professional MMA bouts. A lot of those were in, you know, organizations like Pride, Strikeforce, and UFC.
Yeah.
He's 39 years old. How much more head trauma do you want?
But the problem is, he's a great striker too, you know, he knocks people out. Do you think that he should take the risk and trade with some guys, or, you know,
absolutely,
why don't just don't just, why
take
don't just go, yeah,
jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, so yeah, I think that we both agree with this, and I don't think that we are the only people who think that his jiu-jitsu is next level and he should really use it.
And if you look at that 205-pound division, who has jiu-jitsu like that?
I would say nobody.
Yeah, nobody.
He's really bringing up something, you know, fresh in this division. Chris Weidman thought that he was bringing something fresh, but we have some great grappler in that division, wrestler, I would say. But jiu-jitsu guys like Jacare, there's not so many.
If you really look back at Jones's career too, the one time where he was almost finished was in a very, very deep armbar by Vitor Belfort.
Yeah, I don't know how the hell he didn't you know, tap out to that, but you know, he's John Jones. At the end of the day, he's John Jones.
No, for sure, man. Anything else on this Sao Paulo Brazil card?
Yeah, you know, I guess that I'm seeing a lot of middleweights moving up weight class. Do you think that maybe Yoel Romero, if it's what's next for him, if they don't give him the fight against Israel Adesanya?
I know in the past that he was already talking about moving up to light heavyweight. I would like to see him in light heavyweight. He's so big for middleweight. I feel like he would just be as an explosive, as, you know, creative with his striking. And I really feel like he could be a problem at 205 pounds.
Yeah, I agree with you.
For sure. Now, before I get to our next interview with David Machado, I just want to sit here and thank all the veterans in the United States. Today's Veterans Day, so we appreciate your guys' service and thank you for everything you guys have done for us. But we're going to go ahead and kick it to a quick station identification, then we'll have David Machado, the PFL finalist, coming right up. All right, guys, joining me at this time is one of my favorite fighters of all time, one of the men who is going to be competing for PFL's welterweight million-dollar finale, David the Bulldog Machado. How you doing, man?
Doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Like I said, we have Ray Cooper in the finals of the PFL tournament this year. Tell me, how excited are you to finally be ready for that opportunity to fight Ray?
I mean, I don't get too excited. I don't go too up or too down, but it's definitely what I was planning, you know, being in the finals, getting big money fighting for the belt, fighting another super high-level opponent. So that's what I'm happy about. That's what I get excited about.
No, for sure. And like you said, the most important thing outside of the $1 million is you get that shiny belt around your waist.
Yeah, PFL's got some nice belts. They had them at the press conference after my playoff fight. Man, they were huge. They were looking good.
Yeah, no, that was an awesome. That was actually one of the first times I've seen their belts up close and personal, was that press conference. And they're huge. I didn't realize how massive they were.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Yeah, it's going to be a nice little belt to wrap around your waist after New Year's.
Yeah.
Now, have you looked at any video for Cooper so far? I mean, he's got a lot of work out there. He's a veteran of the game.
I haven't looked too much. I think I rewatched his last fight, I think I just watched the finish. I'll get into it a little later, but I don't even watch too much. I just let my coaches watch and tell me what I need to look out for, and have some sparring partners imitate what I need to look out for and get out there and let it fly.
Now, you had two grueling fights on October 11th. It really showed your heart and your determination. Franca hit you with a low blow and then split your head open with a knee to the head right after. Tell me what it was to go through that kind of adversity in the second round of the fight.
No, that was in the third round. That was the last round. It was right at the start of the third. Like less than 10 seconds in. And but yeah, I mean, I don't know, like I got hit in the nuts, so natural reaction is bend over. As I bent over, natural reaction when someone bends over and you got their head clinched up, throw a knee. So we both, you know, it happened. Like, I wasn't happy about it at the moment, obviously. I remember complaining to the ref. I was like, fucking need me after the illegal shot. And the ref,
but your corner, like, too. Well, your corner was yelling.
Yeah. And the ref was like, well, you got to protect yourself. I was just thinking, like, yeah, you protect yourself after getting hit in the nuts. But it's cool. It is what it is. You know, it gave me a chance. Jumped on some guillotines. Didn't finish any, obviously. But in a couple of those scrambles, I feel like I gassed him out. I hit him with some knees to the body. And, yeah, just kept going forward. Just got to keep pushing. Kept throwing and hitting him. Hit him a lot. It didn't go down. But it was a good time.
Now, like you said, you've seen yourself in the finals. Was this the opponent that you thought you were going to get it when you looked at the bracket?
Well, like, the most Cinderella story that you could get would be me fighting Sadabu and then beating him in the finals. So that would be, you know, the most iconic or whatever. But other than that, you know, I wanted to fight Sadabu. He's a super nice guy. I really like him a lot. But that's one that I'd like to get back. You know, Ray Cooper knocks people out. And then the other guy that he was really looking at is the Russian, Magomed.
Yes.
And a lot of people say that he's one of the 15 best in the world. So I was kind of wanting to fight him, too, because, hey, that's what I consider myself. So let me step in there with someone who people think this about. But, yeah, so, I mean, those are kind of who we were looking at and ended up being Ray Cooper. So that's cool.
Now, they had some trouble over on the other side of their bracket. Magomed obviously wasn't able to compete after the first fight. Ray Cooper, in turn, fight Chris Curtis. Did they kind of tell you guys ahead of time, like, hey, this is the situation that could possibly happen? Did they kind of break it all down before? It wasn't kind of like a surprise.
Yeah, you know that if you lose the fight, they want you to stay ready, because if the guy that beat you, you're going to step in. If the guy that beat you can't fight, you step in. So, you know, Chris, whenever he did it, it was just, I mean, he just assumed, like, there's no way Magomed wasn't gonna keep fighting, because, you know, he didn't really hurt him on the feet, so he didn't have a possible concussion, and he seemed like he was pretty healthy coming out of the cage. So Chris was like,
well, yeah, like, just I was taking pictures of Magomed as he was walking into the back, and he seemed normal, like 100%, like everyone else when they walked into the back.
Yeah. That's what I mean. So, you know, Chris was like, well, no way I'm going to fight. So then he retired, took the gloves off and everything. But, like, I'm sure if Chris felt like he had hurt Magomed more, he would have stayed ready. But ended up getting an extra $25,000 at least.
No, for sure. I mean, and one thing, too, Ray talked about the opportunity of possibly coming back to Vegas. How did you like the whole atmosphere of being in Vegas for the playoffs?
Man, Vegas, we just do all the shows in Vegas.
Yes, that'd be 100% good. For that.
just bring all the shows to Vegas. That'd be a good time.
Well, I know for sure they're coming back to Vegas. I tried to pry it out of Ray throughout the three shows, which part of the PFL playoffs we were getting next year, if it was the playoffs, regular season, or the finale, but he wasn't giving up. He was a very tight box on that one. How excited are you to be fighting in Madison Square Garden, though, man? That's a huge mecca for sports entertainment.
Yeah, for sure. That's, you know, that's definitely the biggest show, like, fights are always big in Vegas, but there's a reason that Madison Square is Madison Square. It's iconic. It'll definitely be something to remember.
Yeah, those lights over you, man. It's just the atmosphere being in there. It's just an awesome arena.
Yeah, should be a good time. Gotta now, get out there and win. Good memories.
Definitely. Do you guys have any trips planned out to Vegas? Like, are you going to go there ahead of time, or are you going to fill it out, or are you just kind of go there, fight week, get it done, get out?
Well, since I drive, I have to do a little bit more planning, because I always bring one of my training partners with me. So we got a plan for his wife and my woman. other than that, I think we'd both be ready just to go whatever. But it'll be like 2 weeks before the fight. I'll travel out, train out in Tennessee for a week, and then come up.
Where are you going to be training at in Tennessee?
With Scott Holtzman. Okay. At Shield System, or sometimes he goes over to Jimbo. Both super good gyms. I trained at both when I was out there.
Oh, I was just going to ask you, is that something that you often do?
So, before my last two fights that were in New York and New Jersey, I did that. And trained at both places, liked everyone there. Had met Scott's coaches a couple times before, so already kind of knew. You know, most of the time, the gym kind of takes after, the coach.
Yeah.
Like, if coach is cool and funny, then most of the guys will know we can be laid back. But if the coach is a bully, then everyone in there is going to want to be a bully. So I knew the coaches, and I knew it'd be cool training there. And yeah, it worked out. Well, I guess it worked out one time. One time it didn't, because one time I won and one time I lost.
Well, I mean, let's be for real. That was a very one body shot. It took you down. I mean, that could have happened to anybody, man.
Yeah, but it happened to me. I mean, like, I didn't sweat it too much, but.
It's definitely one thing on the back of your mind, though.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to get it back, but like I said, even after the fight, I was like, well, it happened, you know, I still got another fight, win that fight, then I got playoffs, like, nothing's changed, so I was ready.
Have they discussed next season with you? Have you thought about what you want to do?
What do you mean?
If they return to a welterweight division, would you be open to going back to PFL?
Oh, yeah, that's definitely my plan. I haven't heard anything. I mean, the welterweight's like the deepest division.
Yeah.
So they definitely can't, you know, they're not going to let a bunch of super high-level fighters like we got in welterweight just go. That wouldn't make any sense.
So the
deepest, and really where the welterweights are mostly the like most exciting, too.
Yes, definitely. Great finishes. Well, you guys were in Vegas throughout the night. Tell me, you have been an athlete your entire life. You grew up, you played football, correct? And you also wrestled in high school?
Yeah, I played football, wrestled, baseball, track in high school.
What brought you to MMA?
Get out of it.
Is that the Bulldogs?
I mean, it's kind of a natural progression, yeah, as a wrestler, but you know, I started a little earlier since I started at 15, just went up and was at the Sturgis motorcycle rally, and my dad asked if I wanted to get in the fight. I don't remember agreeing to it, but that's how it ended up. I jumped in and got a fight in front of a bunch of bikers, and if you win they throw in money, so that was pretty fun. Good time. Nice and safe for a 15-year-old.
How'd that go?
I won, so
nice.
Got like they threw money in. I got like, yeah. I threw a punch. I threw an overhand right and went a little deep. Ended up with like my arm behind him, so I just took him right down, choked, and started pounding him out. Got his back. It was a good time, though, like I said. Then the bikers threw in like $50, so I thought I was balling out.
That's awesome. So 15 years old, got $50 in his pocket. What did you do at Sturgis, man?
Probably well. They're pretty strict, but it's hard. I didn't look super old. You know, some 15, 16-year-olds look like they could be 35, but that wasn't me.
No, yeah, that's for sure. Now, you grew up in the reservation, right, South Dakota?
Yeah, I grew up in Pine Ridge, South Dakota.
Now, tell me, did you dance at all? Did you go to powwows?
No, not. I mean, just as part of the school, because in our Lakota classes, we learned, you know, traditional dance.
Bro, I got dragged to powwows every single week of my life. My dad dances Northern Traditional. That was like, if I wasn't playing baseball, I was at a powwow.
Yeah, I don't remember going to too many. I think when I was in high school, I went to a few more, but I don't remember too much.
Now, you're a Valley Victorian, so you're also a very smart man.
No, don't say that.
Does anyone ever question why you went to MMA? Or like, hey, you're a really smart dude. You could be doing something else. Like, I know this is what you love to do, but obviously a lot of people have questioned it, right?
No. If you know me, then it wouldn't be a question. You know, you'd know that I couldn't do anything else. Just beat people up.
Take names, taking checks. Well, David, I don't want to take too much more of your time, but I do want to give an opportunity for you to give a shout out to your sponsors, loved ones, anyone that's really helped you along your MMA journey, man.
Yeah, you know, shout out to some of my local sponsors here, Valley Wings, Mitchell Chiropractic, and back home, I got a lot. Like, there's been a lot of people that just helped me throughout my career. Like the one, Dakota Business Solutions. They're what does he do? He does furniture for office. He does office furniture, and he's been supporting me since like day one. Like first couple fights, he's like, "Yeah, come up." You know, it was like, "Come up, I'll feed you guys" or something like that. So
nice.
Was, and he's been there. Geez, I guess about 13, 14 years now. So, but yeah, there's too much to say.
I don't think everyone a lot of people knows. Understand that, like, almost every fighter has somebody like that on their backside. There's a huge community behind you guys, and it's not just you guys going in the cage by themselves. There's a lot of people behind you.
Oh, yeah. It's hard. I mean, because you wouldn't be able to train, like, if you didn't. It's hard. You need a lot of help. You need a lot of outside help to make it high level of fighting, because there's no money in it for the first handful of years. So you need a lot of help, a lot of support, someone that can put up with all the problems that you're going to have, especially financially.
Yeah, no, I get it, man. It's the everyday struggles of pretty much this life, living this rat race we're in.
Yeah, getting a little too deep now, though.
No, for sure. Where can the fans find you on social media?
Shit, hit me up. I think Twitter is Bulldog. BULLDAWG_170. Insta is Bulldog155 from back in the days when I was a lightweight for like 2 months. And Facebook, I guess I got the most fans on Facebook out of anywhere. So David Bulldog Michelle on there. Come check me out.
Excellent, man. And that's, again, PFL Finale's New Year's Eve in New York City. David's going to be taking out Ray Cooper III. He's going to be winning that $1 million, take it all back to Arizona, and spoil his girlfriend. Wife.
Yeah.
And maybe thanks, buy man. Another bulldog.
Need to buy another place before we get another bulldog.
Oh, man, I just had that conversation with my wife. I was like, can we get a bulldog, babe? She was like, can we get a bigger house? I was like, damn, you got me there.
Well, we're in an apartment that only allows 2 pets, so.
Ours well, doesn't allow any pets, and we have 2 pit bulls.
Nice. Yeah.
We walk them a lot, though, so they're really good, and they're really calm, and they just chill. That's the key. Yeah. As long as you walk, your dogs are good.
My dogs don't like to walk. And just be bad.
That's just a bulldog, Zos.
Yeah.
All right, brother. Well, I'm going to let you go. My wife's calling me in for dinner right now. I will be talking to you later, man. Thank you again for this opportunity, and we'll have you on very, very soon.
All right. Later, brother.
Later, man. About wraps it up for episode 48. I would like to thank all 3 of our guests. 2 of them had very busy fight weeks going on in Brazil. Ricardo Ramos is going to be taking off to Sao Paulo. He's already technically there. He's about an hour away, so he's just going to stay in town, go to his girlfriend's house in the city, and then go to the fights from there. Wellington Thurman is going to be taking off from Carituba tomorrow to be getting on a flight to go to Sao Paulo. His family and friends are going to be joining him in his Brazilian UFC debut. And then a big shout out and thank you to David Machado. He is obviously on his way to make $1 million in the PFL welterweight finals. Really excited to have him on. And I've been trying to get that interview locked down for a while. I feel like he's a very interesting, you know, fighter. He's a very interesting person. And I've been following his career for a long time. Just as a fellow native, when I found out that there was a native out of Pine Ridge, I really when I heard that on The Ultimate Fighter, it was a guy that I was definitely pulling for. He didn't make it past the opening rounds of The Ultimate Fighter, but ever since then, I've been keeping an eye on him. Super excited to have that interview done. Really, really just want to give another big shout out and thank you to the veterans. Like I said, it's Veterans Day here in America. I would like to just thank every one of our men and women in the armed forces for everything they've done for us and they continue to do. Wally Wall, again, thank you, man, for just continually growing this podcast with me and just not stopping after 26.
Yeah, no problem, brother. You know, majority of podcast stuff that's after number 26.
That is scientific facts.
Yeah, you know, doctors said that.
Well, brother, man, do we have any final words on São Paulo or Russia?
Listen, the Russia ones, I think that the beast really got exposed when it comes to cardio. This is nothing new for guys that really follow him, but some people didn't know. I think that people should know that the big question about Zabit is not skill-wise, it's just about cardio. And when it comes to São Paulo, I'm really excited about Paul Craig having a fight in co-main event, and really looking forward to see how Jacare Souza looks in the light heavyweight division.
Yes, I'm super excited for our friend Vanessa Mello. She's been a huge supporter of us for a very long time. She's getting another opportunity to fight in the UFC in Brazil, so I'm really excited for her, and I can't wait to have her showcase her talent. We met two great Brazilians today. We did something that we've never done before on this show and had an interpreter. We had Wellington, who speaks Portuguese. I really love that entire experience, and I can't wait to continue to do that with other fighters. I'm working on Loma Luca. I'm going to mess up her name. She's a Thai fighter out of the UFC, a great Thai boxer. I would love to get her an interpreter on. But definitely, we're going to keep growing this podcast, and the sky's the limit, because we're not stopping here.
Yeah, and if you're a fighter and you speak French or Arabic, no need for an interpreter, because I'm here.
We got Wally Wall, the world-famous interpreter.
Yeah, we got you covered.
And that does mean French-Canadian also.
Yeah, that means that too, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
All right, all my Wreckage fans, all of my native MMA fans, I thank you guys. I want to, again, obviously we talked about our split. We're done with MMA Wreckage. They are behind us. We probably won't discuss them ever again on this show. I just wanted to clarify that that is a done deal. We are officially done with MMAWreckage.com, and the future is bright for our new brand, Native MMA, and this great show that we're going to continue on Native MMA Radio.
Yeah, the name means so much to me and to you, Randall, and this is our show, and, nobody can take that from us.
Hell no, just a Native African and a Native American sitting here doing the damn thing.
Exactly, brother.
All right, knuckleheads, until next time, have a good one.
Peace.